the Lord is risen. And all the people said, the Lord is risen indeed. During the early 1900s, 1920s, there was a Easter rally, and a communist leader named Nikolai Bukharin was sent from Moscow to Kyiv to address this Easter rally. For an hour, he abused and ridiculed the Christian faith until it seemed as if the whole structure of belief was in ruins. Then questions were invited. An Orthodox church priest rose and asked to speak. He turned to face the people and gave the Easter greeting, "He is risen." Instantly, the assembly rose to its feet, and the reply came back loud and clear, "He is risen indeed." Happy Easter Sunday morning to all of you out there in video land. What a difference. What a difference one life made, or maybe I should say makes. Because of Jesus Christ, this morning is a celebration of life, even in the midst of difficult times. What a difference one life made. What a difference one day made. What a difference one headline made. What a difference one statement from the governor's office made. I remember being in our members' meeting March 4th, being excited about the future plans to renovate the other end of our church building. And I don't know about you, but I was putting together a timeline in my mind and in my head. And, you know, we had X number of dollars in the bank, and we were going to hold a special project offering, and it would probably be X amount, you know, pretty good size offering. And then we could, at some point here, we could begin construction at this point, and it would probably take about this long to complete the construction. And all non-essential businesses must cease operations by Monday, 8 a.m. There it was, just that quick. One statement from the governor's office, from the governor of Pennsylvania. And I remember talking with my boss about a day or so before the governor had made that announcement. He was excited. There were some recent customer acquisitions that would produce approximately a 10% increase in business. And I remember him saying, I can see very plainly, hear it very plainly, "Yeah, it's an exciting time," he said. But by Monday, there was no balloon. Someone had stuck a pin in it. We've all heard people say, we live in uncertain times. That statement has a little more meaning to it today, doesn't it? We've all prayed the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," and probably had some bread that was turning moldy in the cupboard. But this given isn't quite as certain anymore, is it? How quickly things can change. How small and powerless even the most powerful of individuals or businesses or governments, how small and powerless they really are. What a way to celebrate Easter. As I was thinking about this, I couldn't help but think back about the very first Easter. We have that account in Acts chapter 1. I want to read Acts chapter 1. Beginning at verse 4, read through verse 11. We could read more, but for the sake of time, we'll break into the middle of monologue here. Verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem," that he would be Jesus is referencing here. "Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which," he said, "you have heard from me." Quoting Jesus, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to all and to the end of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Now, I wonder what they were thinking. They obviously didn't get the full picture or the full meaning of what was happening here, because in verse 6, they asked Jesus, is this the time when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I think they were still looking for an earthly kingdom here. But just think about the roller coaster of emotions that they must have felt from from, you know, just the 3 or 4 days that are surrounding Jesus' arrest to the time that they saw and recognized him after the resurrection. And then they saw him for 40 days, and then he's gone again, but then they're told that he's coming back again. Just a roller coaster of emotion there that they must have went through. But, you know, I might have been painting a bit of a dark picture here this morning. Maybe you're thinking, hey, this is Easter. Let's hear something positive or encouraging, something uplifting. In the Gospel of John, I'm going to read from John chapter 1. Verse came to my attention. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if we go down to verse 14 and following through the chapter there, we see that the Word, it says that the Word is Jesus Christ. So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5 is what caught my attention. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The word comprehend has several aspects to it. Darkness is a reference, obviously, to people living in sin or living in darkness. The world didn't comprehend or didn't accept the light, which was Jesus Christ. The word comprehend also carries the idea of overpower or overcome. The light shone into the darkness. Jesus shone his light into the darkness. And as great as that darkness was, it did not overcome the light. The darkness of evil men who nailed Jesus to the cross did not extinguish the light. They only caused it to shine brighter. And that's the message of hope that I bring to you this morning. I went back and forth a while for a title for the message. I wanted, at one point, to title it Because He Lives. And then at one point I was going to title it A Celebration of Life. And so I just decided to combine the two and call it A Celebration of Life Because He Lives. Now, it's difficult, I think, to pick a text from the Bible this morning because basically all of the Bible points to Christ and His death and, equally important, His resurrection, as we're celebrating this morning. But if I were to pick just one verse, it would be John 11, 25. John chapter 11, this is the account of Lazarus being dead, and Jesus went to the gravesite. And in verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Jesus asked Martha that question, and I believe he's asking each one of us this morning that question. Do you believe that we will live again someday? Now, this will be more of a background scripture for us this morning, an overview, something we ought to keep in our minds as we go through the message. But I believe even as we go through life, it's a good truth to keep in mind. This life is just a preparation for the life that is to come. Death is not the end for anyone. So we'll be drawing from the message here from several different scriptures. I have 3 points I'd like to share, and there could be more, but 3 points that I come up with. 3 reasons why we could celebrate life this morning, no matter what is going on around us. Point number one, we celebrate life because our sins are forgiven. Okay, I remember when cell phones were first becoming popular. Yeah, I'm old enough to remember that, but the common saying was, "Can you hear me now?" So, anyhow, we're back with the live feed, I guess, I hope. So I'm not sure where we lost connection there, but I'm going to go back and read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, we understand, was Jesus. If we get out later in the chapter, it points that out. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The word comprehend has several aspects to it. Darkness, obviously, is a reference to people living in sin or living in darkness. The world didn't comprehend or understand the light being Jesus Christ. But the word comprehend also carries with it the idea of overpower or overcome. The light shone into the darkness, and the darkness, as great as it was, did not overcome the light being Jesus Christ. The darkness of evil men who nailed Jesus to the cross did not extinguish the light. They only caused it to shine brighter. And that is the message of hope that I bring to you this morning. I went back and forth for a while for a title to the message. I thought at one point to call it Because He Lives. And then at one point I thought rather to call it A Celebration of Life. But I decided to put the two together and title the message A Celebration of Life Because He Lives. It's a bit difficult to pick a text from the Bible, I think, because all of the Bible points to Jesus Christ, His death, and equally important, His resurrection. If we were to just pick one verse, though, it would be John 11, 25. John chapter 11, 25, this is the account of the death of Lazarus. Jesus was at the grave of Lazarus, and verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, this was a verse that I had thought for a possible text. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, this will be more of a background scripture for us this morning, more of an overview, something that we keep in mind as we go through the message. But I think it's a good concept for us to keep in mind as we go through life. You know, this life is the preparation for the life that is to come. Death will not be the end for anyone. So we'll be drawing from the message from several different scriptures. And I have basically 3 points here, 3 reasons why we can celebrate life this morning, no matter what is going on around us. Point number one, we celebrate life because our sins are forgiven. What if we could start life over, knowing what we know now? I had a conversation with a guy recently, he's a good bit older than me, in his early 60s. And I said, would you like to go back and live the 80s again? He said, I know what I know now, you betcha. What if we could start life over again knowing what we know now? We would probably say that we wouldn't sin or we wouldn't make the same mistakes that we've already made. But I believe that we would. Why do I say that? Because the scriptures say that we sin when we are drawn away from the truth by our own selfish lusts. In other words, we sin to please self. So if we were somehow able to start life over with a lifetime of knowledge, that fact wouldn't change, would it? We would still sin to please self. Possibly even more, since we would find it easier to trust in ourselves with our lifetime of knowledge that we would have accumulated. Point is, we've all sinned, we've all had things in our past that we wish had never happened. We've all been a disappointment to God. But because of Easter, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Again, we're breaking into the middle of a statement given by Paul here, a sentence. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, I don't know if you underline verses in your Bible, but if you do, that's a verse that ought to be underlined. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Jesus paid the penalty for my sins, for your sins, when he became that perfect, sinless sacrifice upon the cross. When he bowed his head and said, it is finished, he completed the work that God had planned from the very beginning. What was that work? What changed at Easter? What changed at Easter? This pivotal point in history. I saw an article here that I thought was worth reading. The resurrection vindicated Jesus' claims about himself that he was the Son of God in the flesh, the fulfillment of God's dealings with humankind. We said that Jesus said it is finished. He completed God's dealing with humankind. No longer would people have to follow rules and traditions to find salvation. Colossians 2, verse 20 to 23. The old covenant had been superseded by the new, and the proof was in the resurrection. Because Jesus lives, he is the Messiah, the one to trust. Another way to look at this question is to ask what would be different if Jesus had not risen from the dead. If there had been no resurrection, Christianity as we know it would not exist. At most, Christians would be following the teachings of just another popular rabbi. His words merely would have joined the countless words of other religious writings. People would be left with no other option for salvation than to strive for absolute obedience. And we all know how that works. But the resurrection changed everything. People follow Christ's teachings not to become saved, but because they are saved. I think a lot of people get that backwards. A lot of people get that mixed up. They feel like they have to follow Christ's teaching to be saved. People follow Christ's teachings not to become saved, but because they are saved. They've discovered something even better than knowing the words. They found what it means to know him. Because he was raised from the dead, we can be too. We can live, really live, both now and through all eternity. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is no condemnation because our sins are forgiven. Point number two, we celebrate life because he lives. And because he lives, our lives have purpose. Death is not the end. We already mentioned that. So many people today are living in fear. When their normal that's around them becomes distorted, they're a mess. When the financial institutions begin to sway, they're distraught. Why? Because that's what they're living for. That's their purpose in life, to make as much money as possible so they can feel secure. But when a virus makes its way into the world and their life is threatened, what happens to their purpose? It's shattered. It seems rather meaningless suddenly because the pile of money doesn't feel as secure as it used to. Jesus said in Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Nothing can destroy our heavenly treasure, not even a virus. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. As believers, we have hope of eternal life, living in heaven with Jesus and all the saints. But Jesus also offers the believer abundant life today. Right now, no matter what is shaking our world, no matter how great the despair around us, we have a purpose that supersedes the shaken health and wealth empires around us. And that purpose is to bring honor and glory to God. Revelation 4:11. Nothing here, nothing temporal can ever keep us from giving honor to God. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We honor God by being obedient to his commandments. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus speaking, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. A very simple statement, isn't it? What does Jesus say is the greatest of commandments? To first love God and then to love your fellow man. No virus can keep us from loving God. No quarantine can keep us from loving God. And when it comes to loving our fellow men, there are even more opportunities to do so in times like we're living today. It's been a special blessing, I might say, to see how people are reaching out and helping others. We hear different stories of businesses, of individuals who are doing deeds, who are helping. I saw one church group was putting together lunch meals for some of the, I think it was healthcare workers. It's just a beautiful opportunity to reach out and share with your fellow men in a time like this. So bringing it around full circle, we celebrate life because he lives. And because he lives, our lives have a purpose. And because our lives have purpose, nothing here in this world can take away that peace that comes from abiding in him. Point number three, lastly, we celebrate life because our future is secure. Again, reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, first three verses. Probably a lot of us know these verses by memory. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Just a beautiful promise of being with Jesus because he does live. The song in Songs of Faith and Praise, number 464, it's called Because He Lives. I want to read it at this time. Because God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. Just think about what the world needs today. And as Christians, as the body of Christ, what are we promoting? Are we promoting gossip and conspiracies and more problems? Are we promoting love and healing and forgiving? That's what the church ought to be doing, because that's what Christ came to do. That's what Jesus came to do. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's final war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lives. Very beautiful song, probably one of my favorite songs, one of the 1,000 favorite songs that I have. We're celebrating life in the face of fear and uncertainty. We're celebrating because we know there is a mansion waiting for us when we leave this earth. And sometimes it's hard for us to think about that and put that in perspective, because in our humility or in our meekness or in our simpleness, we want to just buy a small house or live in a small house and just accumulate a small amount and then go over. But over there, it's not going to be that way. Everything's going to be, there is no pride. There is no selfishness. There is no wrong way to live over in heaven. And so over there, Jesus clearly says, we're going to live in a mansion. That's something to get excited about, I believe. A mansion filled with all the wonder. You know, it would be one thing just to be a mansion, but think about where this mansion is located. A mansion with all the wonder and bliss of heaven as described in the book of Revelation. We're celebrating because we already know what's going to happen to this world and everything in it. You know, the world won't be consumed by a virus. We're already told that in the scripture. Then 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says that the earth and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And as regards to the people that are living, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17 tells us, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Excuse me, what will happen to our heavenly treasure when the earth and all its works are done away with? Our heavenly treasure? Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I want to tell you, talk about wedding bliss right there. A new bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. We could go down in verse 9 of this same chapter, and continuing on through into chapter 22, it describes how heaven heaven and how wonderful it will actually be. We won't read it for the sake of time this morning, but fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what's waiting for us. When we leave this world, how or when we leave won't change what's already waiting for us. We know that when we breathe our last here, that our eyes will be opened to behold the outstretched arms of Jesus Christ. And we know that at that time we will hear the words, "Well done, my child. Welcome home." But until that day comes, I would leave you with the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer at this time. Father, again, we're so grateful that we can approach your throne, and we know that you hear us. We know that you're in our hearts, that we're not collectively gathered together this morning. We can, in a sense, be together and hear what you have for us through the teaching and preaching of your word. Just thank you so much that we have your word, that we can, in times like this, we can go back to your word and be fed and be encouraged and be strengthened to invest in and build on the rock. And Father, we just thank you so much that you are certain. You're one thing that never changes in the midst of uncertainty. We can always come back to the truth of your word and find promises that are encouraging and uplifting. Father, just be with each one of us as we go through these times and we live life, that we would be careful to make sure that we're doing everything we can to bring honor and glory to your name and to build your kingdom up and to not destroy and to tear down and break apart. Father, just be with us all as we go live our lives. Keep us healthy physically, but most importantly, keep us healthy spiritually. It's what we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and may God bless you as you live for him this coming week.